Well, you should have your Bibles open to Proverbs chapter 1, and we're in verse 3, where we are coming now to start looking at the four issues that are given to us in phase 2 of the level 1 of our sonship education. The first phase, of course, establishes the son. The second phase begins the actual education in earnest. That's when you get in the classroom, the orientation's over, and the rubber meets the road. Receiving the instruction of something has to do with actually getting information you don't know naturally. It has to do with the fact that until you're apprised of it or until you are receiving it, you are ignorant of it. And it has to do with you now being able to do something you've never, ever been able to do before. And that's what you're going to be able to do in general is make the decisions according to the way your father would make them. The choices that you make in life, the decisions that you choose, and all of that is now going to be compatible. It's not just compatible with, but you have offered to you the ability to make the choices that God himself would make. And those are going to really fall into these four categories, these four words that really are going to comprise the bulk of decisions that you ever will make. And that's what we looked at in the commonness, what they all have in common. They are all godly decision-making skills. That's what you're going to acquire in phase 2 of level 1. You're going to acquire decision-making skills of your father that are not just that, as wonderful as it is, but they are also skills that you have to be a governmental ruler. And we're going to see that later on. We'll go to some passages and realize where these are descriptive terms of the abilities and the skills of a king or a prince or a governor to do his job. And since your job is going to be one of a rulership capacity and administrating the very will of God in the creature, in the heavenly places, you're being taught that right now, and all of the little tiny things that happen in your life, things that don't seem to be on a grand scale at all, are really very important because they are manifesting your ability to do the job of reigning in the heavenly realm and not just making good choices here on earth. So I'm going to get this off the board so that we can start. We have started looking at the end of our last session at wisdom, to receive the instruction of wisdom. And we talked about it being information or knowledge that is put to use properly in our life. And that's a good enough and sufficient enough description right now for what wisdom is. Like I ended last time, wisdom can even be in kindergarten. It can be in first grade. It can be in fifth grade. It can be in postgraduate school. You can have wisdom. Wisdom is going to occur throughout this curriculum, including all the way down into phase 3. And so there's wisdom at every level to be achieved. But it's just simply taking information and putting it to its proper use. And it can, like I said, it can be a very limited and specific thing, like 2 + 2 = 4. That's a monicum of wisdom of some measure. But it could be vast. It could be a very expansive kind of wisdom with fine tuning to it, so to speak, for numerous matters and numerous undertakings. Because the really critical thing about wisdom is that all it demands, and that's one of the reasons why it's the first thing up here in this phase of your education and getting it, all wisdom demands is that you do have some information, you've got some knowledge, and that you are using it properly. That's what wisdom demands. And you can push it to more than that, but that's kind of the minimal requirement of what wisdom is. It demands that you've got some information and that you're using it properly. And what we're after is what it is in the context of our table of contents here in verse 3 of Proverbs 1. And in this context, we can see that wisdom is going to come up again and again. We know later on, like I said in verse 3, we're going to talk about a wise man who's going to hear and will increase learning. That's, by the way, that's going to be a very interesting concept, because the wise man who's going to increase learning, he will hear and increase learning. That doesn't mean he's going to get more information. There's another way that's to be understood of increasing learning there. That's indicative of what phase 3 or level 3 is all about. And we'll get to that. Maybe you can dock at that in the back of your mind and work on it till we get there, which isn't all that far off, just in the table of contents. But the wise man will hear and increase learning. We know that here in level one, we're dealing with wisdom in a more limited way. If we see it occurring out here, we've got to realize just logically that we're dealing it with wisdom on a more limited level or a more limited way or in a more limited realm. Or here's another great word that really applies here, in a limited field. We have the fields of the operations of our Father are going to get ever broadened and understood as we go on through the curriculum. That He's up to a lot of things. There's a whole bunch of operations that He has. It's not just limited to just decision-making skills in one or two areas or three or four or six. There's going to be about six components that are in Romans chapter 12 that comprise your instruction in godly wisdom. So, but that's just really, it's just more of a limited field for now. Once you get to the book of Ephesians and what God tells you in a very small way in the book of Romans really opens up to what the creature is doing, because now we start to understand what the church, the body of Christ, is about and what the operations of God are and our blessings being all in the heavenly place. All of this kind of business is going to get more and more expanded and more finely tuned. But right now we're just dealing with it and I think logically so in a more limited field. And it's not going to be extended and comprehensive knowledge here, but wisdom doesn't demand that. Wisdom doesn't demand, when you talk about someone being wise, that's not the same thing as talking about them being a Renaissance man or a graduate of university, which universities, as opposed to colleges usually had one thing in mind. Like I went to Vandercook College of Music. That's all you could get there. You couldn't go there and become a scientist. All you could get there is music. But a university seeks to, you know, it had this goofy concept that, well, we think you ought to be exposed to a universal amount of knowledge. And so you have to take courses that, you know, the culture of the Symbian tribes or something, but, you know, all kinds of things that get thrown in there so that you're better or more well-rounded, universal in scope in your understanding. Well, what we're after here is wisdom. You can talk about wisdom that doesn't have to be that universal Renaissance-type understanding. That's not the proper way to use wisdom all the time and pigeonhole it as being the pinnacle of something. It's more in understood that you have received information and you're properly putting it to use. Wisdom doesn't demand comprehensive, extended knowledge. It's, like I said, a very, very versatile, one of the most versatile words in the entire Bible. And I say that with a mirror in front of myself, saying how dumb I was to try and make wisdom only talk about the highest level of knowledge, when God never uses it that way. I mean, not that there's not a sense or a place that He doesn't use it like, but that's not how He uses that word. It's extremely versatile and is found in every level and every stage of our growth spiritually. And really, it's in the area of making choices where wisdom is actually manifested. I think that was indicative of even the way the OED, the Oxford English Dictionary, dealt with the word wisdom. At least to the largest extent of wisdom, that's where it's going to be manifested. You wouldn't look at someone and say, that's a wise person who's just sitting there reading a book. I mean, they may be reading Emily Dickinson or something like that, but you wouldn't come along and say, that's a wise person. But when you see somebody, when you see somebody take a Rubik's Cube and finish it, you say, man, that must be a wise person, because they took information and they used it properly. Now, that's a bad illustration, but it's when you're seeing somebody actually use the information they know in the proper way that you would say in the back of your mind, that person has some wisdom. Watch what they do here, you know, and see how they do something. If I had enough time, I could have thought up a really clever illustration for that, but you can come up with one on your own. Thinking of somebody where you wouldn't expect to see something happen, you say, now watch what they do here, because they're going to do this and do this and do this, and they're going to solve the problem. They know exactly what to do. I did that in printing a lot myself. I did a lot of running around, because you have to run down and grab a copy off the, you know, you're running 20,000 or 30,000 copies an hour. That's pretty fast for a community press. And you pull a page off and you open it up. And by the way, I never read a paper. In fact, when I became press room foreman, I would fire if he kept doing it. I'd have a long, serious talk with an apprentice pressman if I caught him reading what we were printing. I don't want him reading it. I don't care what it says. I care how it looks. I'm printing it. And so we would go through there, and I'd see a streak start coming up, and we'd be running full speed, and I'd take my little wrench, and I would reach into that press up to my shoulder while it was running full speed. I'd reach into that press, and I'd put my wrench on that bounce. You don't even know what that is. But I'd feel that bounce, and if it was clicking, I would put my wrench on there, and I would be able to adjust that to where there was no more bounce in it, and because that's where that streak was coming from. And I knew exactly which press. You have to be able to open that page up, know exactly when you look at the number of the page, exactly on all those webs running through that, which one of those units that is, go exactly to the right side of it, make the exact adjustment, and you've got to do it fast, or you're going to waste paper, and that kills a newspaper. Now, that's an illustration personally that you probably don't have a lot of familiarity with, but nobody's saying anything. All the guy's doing is going down, picking up a paper, looking at it, and immediately going, making the right choice, doing it now, and solving the problem. And you'd look at somebody doing that and say, watch what he does. Without having to say a word, he went exactly to where the problem was, he made the correction, and it's running right now. That guy's got some wisdom. I learned that about my press room foreman, the guy who taught me, because I followed him so closely, literally when he stopped, I'd bump into him. And he was one of the wisest printers I ever saw. And it was because he had information and he used it properly. That's the skill that you're going to get so that one day you can function in a position of rulership and take those same skills and put them to use that you practiced on in your daily life on this earth. And so wisdom is really that kind of an animal, so to speak. It's manifested in a lot of ways, but its main manifestation is the making choices, and that's really, in my understanding, the largest extent of how wisdom is manifested. Now, granted, there may be other ways to show you've got wisdom, but by and large, the clearest way to see it is when you make a choice. And anybody can have knowledge, but it's when you exercise that knowledge and put it to use and make determinations, choices about directions to take. You're going to take this direction. You know, most of us guys know what it's like in the eyes of our wives to take the wrong direction and not ask directions. But a wise husband will be able to take information and make the, but that's going to be a big part of our lives. I'm going to show you that some here, that we're going to have to be able to make determinations and choices about what direction we're going to take, what actions to take, or thoughts to think, or responses to have. That's when you manifest, you truly do have wisdom. You don't just have knowledge on a subject, but you have actually made a choice with it. You have actually thought a thought with it. You've actually responded properly with it. You've actually taken a course of action and taken a path or a direction with it. And it's not just statically there. Well, it's absolutely critical to understand and appreciate that when you are dealing with all four of these items, wisdom, justice, judgment, equity, none of them are being utilized right now in their generic sense. All of them in verse 3 in the table of contents are being utilized right now as acquired skills. That's why I say you're going to fail here if all you wind up with is a word study. You're not going to get what's going on here because you're not paying attention to how they're sitting in the context. They're not there to be understood in their generic sense. They're there to be understood in why we saw their commonness. They are there as acquired decision-making skills. And that's why we spent time to look at the verbal infinitives, those two infinitives, to receive. And the instruction of, that infinitive phrase is so important because it's going to govern. That infinitive governs the use, the way all the nouns that follow it are to be viewed. at least all four nouns in the back end of the predicate. Now, I realize instructions in the front end of the predicate, you remember sentence structure from grammar, diagramming sentences. The back end of that predicate are all four of these nouns. And the to infinitive, that verb receive, governs the way all of those four nouns on the back end of the predicate are to be viewed. That kind of structure makes it so when you look at that verse, you come along and view all four items, all four of those terms as products of this body of information. The product of receiving instruction of is wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. That's the product of all that information called instruction. And so you really can't just view these terms as standalone word study nouns. They're all looked upon as commonness of acquired skill, acquired decision-making skill. That's what you're dealing with here. And since you can clearly see that wisdom occurs in verse 2, later on in verse 5, and in verse 6, the word wise occurs down there, you know by now that wisdom is the proper word to be utilized, because each one of those verses actually deals with an advanced body of information. And each time you get more information and more knowledge, a reciprocal, when you get knowledge, all right, that's why in here in level 2, to give subtlety to the simple and to the young man knowledge and discretion. Discretion is going to be an advancement on decision-making skill that you acquired here. The knowledge is another body or form of information that you're going to receive. So if I'm going to receive knowledge here, that ought to lend itself to some kind of wisdom happening. And it does. It lends itself to me becoming that wise man. Once I get the knowledge and discretion, I'm now a wise man, and I'm going to hear, and I'm going to increase learning. So what I'm after in all that is that you start viewing wisdom as the way God uses it and the way He deals with it. And so when you each time you get more information or more knowledge, there's this reciprocal matter of wisely using it, wisely utilizing that knowledge, and that wisdom has to take place. So wisdom, far from being a word that can be pigeonholed as the top of a pyramid of knowledge, is actually something that occurs within each body of information you get when you use it right. When you don't, you're a fool. Like I say, if you don't use your automobile right, you're going to be a fool and a dead one. You get information about driver's education. A wise driver uses it. I can remember the very first thing my driver's ed teacher ever said to our class on the first day in the first 30 seconds of that class. He said, "Driving is a privilege. It is not a right." And from there, the whole education began. And I've always remembered that. Driving is not my right. I have no right to drive. It's a privilege. And so therefore, once that information is there, you've got to get out on the road and use it. You can't just stay in the class. That's why I release you. I unleash you out on the world. It's one of the reasons why at the end of every single class I say you're dismissed. And you now have some information, but now you've got to put it to use. And so there's that reciprocal matter, and this is teaching you that wisdom isn't to be looked upon as some sort of nirvana to a categorical doctrine of knowledge, but that wisdom has to occur within each body of information you receive. So the first component we're going to receive here in the curriculum for our sonship edification and education is the instruction of wisdom. And the context of verse 3 demands that that is to be understood as godly, wise decisions. And if you were to take the time to check out with the corresponding exhortation, let's do that. You're here in Proverbs. You won't have to go far. Come over to chapter 3 to two verses that you have all heard thousands of times, probably. Some of you may be hundreds. But you've all heard these verses. Some of you may have a plaque in your home with them on it. They're two of the most familiar verses in all the Bible. But if you the corresponding exhortation to phase two here really is in chapter 3, in the first 20 verses of chapter 3. Now, you know, remember that chart that I had that took the book of Proverbs and drew it all out? That not only in the first 9 chapters do you have contained, I think I erased that off my thing, so I can't really bring it up, but in the first 9 chapters you have, after the table of contents, all the exhortations the father gives the son at the various levels of his education. Then the remainder of the book of Proverbs, nearly all of it, is the corresponding doctrine that relates to each one of these things and to the exhortations. Because God designed doctrine not just to be sat and learned, but there has to be an exhortation that primes the soul to receive it. You get the doctrine, and then there's a follow-up primer to that, or clear coat that's put on it of an exhortation. Exhortation, doctrine, exhortation. But anyway, what I'm after is that this, in my understanding, is the corresponding exhortation to receiving the instruction of wisdom. And if you look down through here, you would find, for instance, come down to verse 5, those very familiar passages, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. By the way, that ought to tell you something about what you're going to get in wisdom. And how many times have you... It's amazing how many times I've heard that verse taught and directed saints' attention to, that teach that as though that's exactly how I should be. I should trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not unto my own understanding. In all my ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Great verse. It is. Should I be doing that? Absolutely. Here's the problem with that, though. If that's an exhortation to a son here, what's that telling you? Yeah. Should you be doing that here? Or should there be an adjustment to that by the time you get here? Should it be true of a saint who is a man of understanding to say that he's trusting in the Lord with all his heart? Absolutely. And leaning not to his own understanding? What does that imply? It implies that you don't really understand your father yet. See, that's going to make an adjustment out here. That guy is going to understand that his understanding and his father's don't match, and he knows what his father's understanding is. That's why he's called a man of understanding. You see what I'm after? That exhortation can't really be applicable out here, because you're talking about a man of understanding. Just a little challenge to rattle your cage a little bit when it comes to thinking that that's describing some wonderfully mature believer. It is describing some wonderful things that all of us should be doing. Granted, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. What I'm after, in all thy ways, there's ways, plural, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths, plural. And David exhorts Solomon here a lot about the ways of the Lord. And in his initial receiving instruction in godly wisdom, decision-making skill, David is going to take Solomon, and he's going to talk to him a bunch of times about the ways of the Lord and these paths of the Lord. And based upon the body of information he will receive in the curriculum for his sonship education, Solomon is to wisely choose not his own way. And in those early stages of a son's life, his ways and his father's ways are different. And his understanding and his father's understanding are different. And he's going to have to realize that he's going to have to get information that his father says, this is the wise thing to do. You may not feel like it, but this is the way I think about it, and this is the way I would have you respond to this. And so David is exhorting Solomon along the lines of the ways of the Lord, the paths of the Lord, and the information he's receiving. He's to wisely choose not his own way or path. And then, on top of that, he's going to have the allurements of a path charted by the evil man and another path charted by the strange woman. He's to resist that, but to display, when he sees these paths he can take, some godly, wise decision-making skill and choose the ways and the paths of the Lord. And again, these are things not for the advanced man of understanding. These are things for a son who is just beginning to receive his instruction and wisdom, and at the same time coming up for the first time as a blip on the radar screen of the adversary, and who the adversary's attention now is drawn to, and who has provided not only charted the course of this world, but he has a policy of evil within Christianity. That's why the strange woman is described there in the previous exhortation as forsaking the guide of her youth and forgetting the covenant of her God. One of the greatest aspects of the policy of evil is that you're going to have within Christianity itself pressure brought to bear by the policy of evil, by other Christians that are going to deny this is the power of godliness. The sonship curriculum, sonship life, that's not how it's done. It's done through 10 minutes of sermons and a whole lot of singing. That's how it's done. And so you're going to have people denying that. Well, what I'm after is that the son encounters information that's now going to deal directly with matters of his initial thinking. When you're using information like ways and paths, I know that can be talking about a literal way and a literal path, but this is proverbial. This is a proverbial style of teaching, right? What is that talking about? When you're talking about following a way, following a path. Okay, a journey, sure. But when it's talking about you personally, your life personally. Options in your life, yeah. Let's see if we can come up with this one, because this is important. If you're talking about, I hate to use this word, but I'll let you discover it. If you're going to literally go down a path, how are you going to do it? I mean, walk. Good. So when we're talking about that journey and that path, those ways, how you're doing it is how you're what? Walking. Now, when you're talking about your walk, what are you talking about? When you're talking about your Christian walk, what are you talking about? Relationships. But let's not talk about it in terms of some other person. Let's talk about it with you personally. Your Christian walk is your... Right, but I'm not talking about relationship right now. I'm talking about you personally. How you walk is how you... There. How you conduct yourself. Your conduct. Your behavior. There's a lot of things that the son is going to have to learn about. You are now a son. You don't know what one looks like, but I do, the father says. Here's the initial information on godly wisdom decision making. When you do this, when you take this information and you properly use it, you are going to show for the first time in your life what a son of mine looks like, what he sounds like. There's going to be people to look at you, not just people, but creatures out in the heavenly places who are going to be able to see put on display for the first time in your life what a son of mine looks like. Not a son of Adam. You're not a son of Adam anymore. You're a son of mine. And the first way you get to display and manifest what a son of mine looks like is when you receive godly wisdom, decision-making skill, and you begin taking that information and using it. That's why wisdom is the use of information. And that's why the exhortation comes along and says, you've got to trust in the Lord with all your heart. You can't follow these other ways and other paths. You can't even in your own, the understanding you have right now not being perfected because you don't have the perfection of your understanding yet. You have the perfection, the only perfection you've really got now, you have a perfect attitude. Sonship Establishment gave you your first taste of being perfect. And you get perfected in multiple ways. But the first perfection you get is to have a perfect attitude. And the father comes along and he begins exhorting and teaching his son. And you now, the son comes along and encounters for the first time matters that are going to deal with his initial thinking and his conduct and his behavior. And you're going to be allured and you're going to be seduced into going down another path. Or way the evil man or strange woman, and that son is to perceive the absolute foolish, utter stupidity of ever doing that and going down the path that this world has charted, or the path of that strange woman, and following those ways instead of making the wise choice to follow the father's ways and paths in connection with the initial makeup of putting his sonship life into practice. He's now thinking in some measure. This is the first time you're now thinking with your father. You're thinking in some measure the way your father thinks. It may be the publicly popular accepted path, but that's not the way your father thinks. You'll get it. One of the greatest areas is in the area of marriage. One of the most wildly popular comedies that has come on the scene recently depicts, of course, marriage as throwaway, I got into this relationship, this marriage, but I'm going to get out of it to get into another one. And the whole idea behind it is they say, well, to do this right, I'm going to do it right this time. I got married too fast. I'm going to do it right this time. We're going to date. We're going to live together. And after we've lived together a certain amount of time, then we're going to get married. I couldn't believe it. They said, we're going to do it right. Do it right? Yeah. No, that's doing it wrong. But again, that's the books, the popular public opinion says that's what's right. I'm just using that as one small example. But those are some of the things that are going to go against the grain of the evil man and the strange woman. Those are things that a son is going to perceive wisely, the choice that his father would make and the utter stupidity of doing anything else. And he's now going to be thinking the way, in a measure at least, the way his father thinks, and then having a measure of living the way his father lives. And the son is now going to manifest, as I said, for the first time, he is a son of God his father. He is not a son of Adam. Now, I want to just go over very briefly a summary statement for receiving the instruction of wisdom, and then I want to just point to, and that's all we're going to really be able to do, and probably not today, but I want to point to how that perfectly follows with what Paul is going to teach us in the book of Romans when we hit Romans 12. He's going to begin teaching us these very things. And if you think about it for a moment, Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect. And by the way, we're going to go there and look at that, because there's a comma between the word perfect. That good, comma, acceptable, comma, and perfect, comma, will of God. You're told right in those verses that you're going to be challenged with another way of conforming to this world. And that's following on the heels of that, you're going to get the instruction in godly wisdom, decision-making skill. So, this is my summary statement, at least, for receiving the instruction of wisdom. If you want, I can try to print these up. I'm going to kind of boil it down. To receive the instruction of wisdom involves being instructed in what is consistent and reasonable in our conduct and behavior in view of the knowledge of who we are as adopted sons in God's plan and purpose as members of the new creature, the church, the body of Christ. I'll say that again. When we get to the point of receiving the instruction of wisdom, it involves being instructed in what is consistent and reasonable. That's one of the reasons why Paul says there, which is your reasonable service. You're now a son. You're not what you were before. And remember, this is all within the lines of our sanctified position and identity in Christ. In fact, it involves receiving the instruction of what is honest and true about us. You're going to start receiving information and instruction in what is honest and true in view of the knowledge of the fundamental manifestation and fundamental impact God expects us to make as His sons, and it involves receiving instructions in regard to the fundamental outlook, the prospect we are to have and operate upon as God's sons in this dispensation of grace. But once again, it's receiving the instruction of wisdom involves being instructed in what is consistent and reasonable in our conduct and behavior in view of the knowledge of who we are as adopted sons of God in His plan and purpose as members of the new creature, the church, the body of Christ. And that information, again, was given to you back there in Romans chapter 8 when He first introduces you to the fact that this whole creature out here is one in which, I don't know if I can bring that in, but it's one in which all of that whole universe that your Father created with the earth as its center, or the earth as its embodiment, what's the inner man, so to speak, of it, and you functioning in all these positions out in it, you've already been given that information in Romans 8. Now in Romans 12, you're going to be asked to respond properly to that, to use that properly. And so it involves having that kind of an outlook and prospect to saying, this now is the consistent, it's the reasonable thing to do, it's honest and it's true about who I am as a son of my Father. And so, in my understanding, that's the issue of initially putting our sonship life into practice. And so when we come back again to that issue, to receive the instruction of wisdom is the issue of information that allows us to initially put our sonship life into practice. And really, ladies and gentlemen, when you do that, that's when the rubber does meet the road, is when you finally get to put it into practice. And you get to practice on yourself, and that's one of the first things you're taught, how to think about yourself, not too highly. And then how to think about being, and that's one of the reasons, well, in fact, I think we're about out of time, but, I want to be able to really get this to where I can find a good place to stop, but we're starting, let's come over to Romans chapter 12, at least get our eyes on it. As I said before, you have Romans 8 is sonship establishment. 9, 10, and 11 is the additional information that is given because of this dispensation of grace. It's not here in the table of contents. It's part of the mystery. Romans 12 picks up with phase 2 of level 1. And right off the bat here, you have those verses I just quoted to you. But again, notice there in verse 2, like I said, I want to draw your attention to that. You can think about this maybe until next time. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're going to get some information that's going to renew your mind, that ye may prove. Now you're going to use that information. So you've got information plus use of it, proper use of it. What is that? If you were to put that into an equation, information plus proper use equals bingo. You got it. That's exactly what's going on here. What is that good, comma, and acceptable, comma, and perfect, comma? You know, most people look at that and they think it says, what is that good, comma, and acceptable, comma, and perfect will of God? No comma there. But there's a comma there. What is that good, that acceptable, and that perfect? The will of God. And then he begins in verse 3, and like I said, he teaches you how to think about yourself, not very highly. And immediately, verse 4, for we as many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. What does he immediately start you off with? Remember that creature that I talked about? And we're the new creature, and we're all members of this one body. And you have information given to you where we're starting to conduct ourselves according to what we truly are. That's what I truly am. That's why I said when we get through just this phase of it, you're going to start looking at each other entirely different. You're going to start looking at each other as just as critical and just as important as any family member you ever had. Because you are a member of my body. Yeah. Just, I don't know, if you don't like your thumb, smash it in the door on your way out. See if you don't like it. I bet you'll instantly connect with your thumb. I once did that and shut the door. I mean, the door actually latched with my thumb in it once. Lost the nail that time. I had a new appreciation for my thumb. Didn't think much of it until I did that. And also the heightened level of how we view one another as being sons of our Father and having a stake in this magnificent sonship life. And so all I want you to be kind of scan your eye down there and see is that you're giving information here about what you truly are. You're not sons of Adam any longer. We're not sons of the world any longer. God has justified us, sanctified us, made us members of the new creature, the church, the body of Christ. And on top of that, He's adopted us as His sons and daughters. And the very first thing He wants us to be able to do by means of using some wise decision-making skills, the very first component of us putting our sonship edification into practice, into reality of being the truth of who we are, involves us receiving information. He's going to begin to teach us on how to begin to immediately act like the sons ought to act. That's how my son ought to act. My son should act the way he should in relation to being members one of another. And to act like a member of the new creature, the church, the body of Christ, ought to act in this world that we are no longer a part of. And we get to put that on display and put into practice that we're no longer following the path charted out for this world by the adversary, but we're now following a path charted out by my Father, for a son by God the Father. And going back to where we left off there, Really, this takes up what we talked about going back to Romans 6:1 through 8:13, what we covered so far in sanctification. When we realize that all of this is being done within the structure of our sanctified life. And the second major component to who God has made us to be in Christ. We're never to forget that sonship is the pinnacle. It is the high water mark of sanctification. And that's not to be forgotten in light of this. Our receiving the instruction of wisdom here is where we actually begin taking what we learned about being dead to sin, alive unto God, and finally putting it into practice. And we receive the instruction of wisdom here, where we actually begin putting our identity in Christ into practice, and we do it in a visible, living, walking, talking way, reality. And that's why I say this is what is true and honest about us. And that's exactly what Romans 12:1-2 starts you off with here. There's your two paths. You see them? You have the path of the world. What's the other path? Well, no, I'm talking about what's actually the word. Use the words of Romans 12:1-2. One of the paths there is be not conformed, and let's just limit it to verse 2. Be not conformed to this world. That's the path other than the path of your Father. What's the path of your Father? What's the last three words of the verse? It's the will of God. There's your two paths. That matches that corresponding exhortation sitting back there in Proverbs chapter 3, by the way. There's the world and the will of God. And even though those three terms, good and acceptable and perfect, are pretty generic terms, they occur within the context of us being the members of the new creature of the church, the body of Christ, as sons of God our Father. So all the information that God's going to give us that allows us to wisely choose the good, the acceptable, and the perfect path of His will. of what is of is information that's consistent with and reasonable with us being members of the new creature and not members of this of the old world. We're members of a new creature. And all that is consistent with how David instructs Solomon in his sonship life back there in corresponding exhortations and corresponding doctrine in the book of Proverbs to the exhortations there. And really, that's going to occur for that the remnant of Israel out there. That's why it's sitting back here. This thing is going... I don't know what happens to us, but we get interference in here somehow. But what occurs out here for the remnant is going to be utilized that way. They're going to be justified children of Abraham, and they're going to do things out here that's going to be consistent and true and honest with who they are, and God's made them to be as sons and as members of the remnant of Israel. And we here are going to then utilize what God is teaching us to make some wise decision-making along the lines of what provides for us to be sons in this dispensation of grace as members of the new creature. And so receiving the instruction of wisdom provides for you to have the kind of keen and insightful decision-making skill to be able to... You have that radar. You have that you can immediately detect paths that are that's consistent with the children of Adam, from paths that are consistent with being members of the new creature, the church, the body of Christ, as sons of God. That's why immediately there in Romans 12:3, one of the first things you're instructed in, as I said, is members of the church of the body of Christ. You're members one of another. On down there in verse 5. And you're taught to look upon other members of the church, the body of Christ, in a particular way. You receive instruction in selfless thinking. Come on down and look at verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. Be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Those aren't small matters. Those aren't just proverbial sayings or little cutesy sayings of Paul thrown out there. Those are all instructions in the way your father thinks and consistent with not being conformed to this world. And it's being able to put that into practice. And one of the things you get taught there is the issue of charitable thinking. Love. I know it's love here, but there's a reason why there's a difference between love and charity in your Bible. You may love some things, but there's only a few things that you cherish. But you're taught and instructed in selfless thinking, charitable thinking, because the path of the world always follows, what they always follow is based upon selfish, uncharitable thinking. It's based upon what John would write about in 1 John, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Well, take this home and think about it. And think about when it comes to the issue of receiving the instruction of wisdom. You know, take some time and read through especially verse 16 of Romans 12 and see if the things that you're being confronted with there aren't consistent with a son who is being taught by his father a body of information so that he can put it to use in his life, that the product of it will be to begin to manifest what a son ought to look like of his father, especially a son of the church, the body of Christ, the new creature in this dispensation of grace, what he ought to look like and how he ought to walk and the paths he should be following. And to me, you know, hopefully you see that. It's one of those, like I said, it's the one that is probably, not that it's difficult, but it's the one that may pose a somewhat level of fuzziness when it comes to justice, judgment, and equity. I think you'll be able to see that without any problem at all. But I hope that I've explained it in a way today that you really do realize what's going on here. In Romans 12, the first 16 verses, is that forms the body of information for me to receive godly wisdom, decision-making skill in the context of what a son is to be wise about in phase two of level one of his sonship life. And all of those things, that's one of the reasons they almost sound proverbial. Because proverbs are wise sayings, and you get a bunch of wise doctrine here. And it's detailed, and when we get to this, it's going to be real detailed. We're going to have some real fun on verse 6 and 7 there, because he mentions the gifts. Actually, the gifts differing according to the graces given to us and so forth, and he talks about ministry and teaching and exhortation and giving and all of that kind of business. There's a reason why that's brought up that has to do with making... Those are all things that a wise son can choose to do. Well, anyway, we'll deal with all of that. Hopefully some of this makes sense. And if you want, I can... Maybe I should have gone slower over the summary statement or something, but maybe I can get it printed or something like that. But really, I think what we'll do is stop right there. And next time we'll pick up with justice, and then look at what that means, judgment. I don't think we'll have to spend this much time on any of the rest of these. I just really wanted to try and get you to see how Romans 12 fits perfectly with that. Justice, judgment, and equity. Get those under our belts, and then we'll go through phase two and phase three and be back to Romans. So we're not all that far away, but I think we'll stop it right there for today. I know it's Super Bowl Sunday, and maybe you have some super things to do on this super day. But none of them are going to eclipse this super information. I'm sure they'll eclipse my less than super teaching of it. But anyway, we'll stop right there with our heads.